I caught up with former PGA Tour winner, NBC Golf Channel golf analyst Noda Begay about a variety of topics, including why some of the world's top athletes become so passionate about golf. Welcome back. And my guest is Noda Begay, four-time PGA Tour winner, analyst for the Golf Channel and NBC. Noda, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. Great to be on.
Why do you think they love golf so much? Here are some of the biggest stars from the NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball. And you know, they're humbled by the sport, right? Because they're so good at their given sport. But yet they, when they play golf, they just, I guess that, you know, those good shots keep them coming back. I mean, some of them are very good players.
Yes, yes. I mean, there's probably four or five Mark Mulder, Steph Curry, John Smoltz, obviously Tony Romo are probably a handful year over year of the best players. But just a couple things. I mean, you're talking about the best athletes in their sport. And what makes an athlete great at their respective sport is their competitive nature and their perfectionist. And those are two things that I guess are elusive elements in golf. I mean, it's a sport that can't be perfected, only played. And if you're competitive by nature and you expect yourself to adhere to a certain standard of performance, these guys go out and expect to do well because they're great athletes. And golf just doesn't allow you to do that. So they are taken in by just the challenge of trying to break 80 and then break 75 and then break 70. These guys get so excited when they break a new milestone in their golf career that they, you know, they can't wait to tell me about it. And it's just fun to hear how much enjoyment they get out of it.
So how much does their excellence in their sport, you know, Steph Curry and basketball, Tony Romo and football, and say a John Smoltz in baseball, how much of that athleticism can really transfer over to golf, Noda? I mean,
it transfers a lot of it. It transfers over in the power component. Most of these guys are pretty long off the tee. They're big fellows. I mean, an NFL quarterback, the you know, Tony Romos and the Aaron Rodgers. I mean, they're big guys. John Smoltz is a big guy, and so them being able to transfer over their size along with the technical elements of the game. So it's not a surprise that a guy like John Smoltz, who's very technically sound in his pitching mechanics, would gravitate to golf and find that sort of a very fluid transition for him. And so, but what does, I think, throw them off is the fact that it's not so much how much you work, but it's what you're focusing on. And a lot of times, where I see some of the players fall short is they're focusing on the wrong parts of their game. Everybody likes to hit balls and hit it far, but sometimes they need to focus a little bit more on the finer elements of the game, like maybe their bunker play or their lag putting, because they might suffer two or three putts a round. If you can eliminate that to zero, then obviously they're cutting shots right off their game. So it's fun to see just their talent, their athletic talent, switch over into golf, but it's also fun to watch them battle just like the rest of us and trying to squeeze a good score out of the round.
And as you know, you have to make the putts. I mean, you can be big and strong and hit, you know, real long off the tee, but if you don't have a great short game and if you're not a great putter, forget it. You know, you're not going to go out and win out there. So how does somebody like Tony Romo, who's two-time defending champion at the American Century Championship, how does he go out and consistently win these big events?
Well, you guys that you see that have become sort of the marquee players at this event, the Jack Wagners, the multiple winner, Tony Romos, the Steph Currys, they all played at very, very early ages. They learned as junior golfers.
They
had it hardwired into their system, the fluid motion and the timing that is required to create what I would call a professional looking golf swing. I mean, you could go to any range in America and you can handpick the people that learned when they were juniors because they just move differently. It's not a motion that you can pick up later in life and have it look natural. Now, the guys that I think that have worked really, really hard and have become good in spite of not playing a lot of junior golf, is a guy like Mark Mulder. Mark Mulder built himself into a great golfer, not having a lot of experience as a junior or high school golfer. And where he saw the most improvement, I think what pushed him over the threshold and allowed him to win the event a few years ago was the fact that he really focused on his wedge game. And so what these guys are finding, this is a major championship to these players. I mean, they take a lot of pride in winning it, and there's a lot of pressure that they feel in playing it. Sure. And going out there and working on those specific elements from one year to the next and having it prove successful like Mark Mulder did is a shining example of why these guys are great athletes.
Right, their work ethic and just their the competitiveness. But still, you get in an arena like that, outdoor, pressure-packed scenario like that where it's televised and it's not really their sport, their number one sport. Although a lot of them, are playing a lot as if it is.
Well, I don't know. I think Tony plays a heck of a lot more than I do these days.
Yeah, exactly.
It is. I mean, in the off season, I know Steph takes it pretty seriously. He moved down closer to Stanford, and we see him occasionally out at the Stanford practice facility. So, and with all the technology available, these guys are getting better faster. Now, with a guy like Tony Romo, he separates himself from everybody. If he plays good, he's really tough to beat. But Tony struggled early on with this event because he tried to overpower the golf course. And so just like right. Mark, who had to focus on his wedge game and being a little bit more tactical in how he approached the course, Tony had to be more conservative. He had to back off a little bit. And when he finally figured it out, now he's become the odds-on favorite year over year.
That's good. And Edgewood Tahoe, I had the opportunity to play it a number of years ago. Beautiful golf course. But you're right. It's not the premium really is on your short game. It doesn't matter how far you bomb the ball. You have to be very accurate on that golf course. So anybody with a great short game and who can putt is going to win. It's great to know that somebody like Tony Romo has played for a long time, and that you can tell that these guys, you can tell the guys who picked up the sport when they were young and they have that natural rhythm and the attention perhaps to good fundamentals and that kind of thing, right?
Absolutely. And it's also fun to see really hardworking players like Emmett Smith and Jerry Rice and who didn't learn at young ages, but just love it and just can't get enough of it. Brian Urlacher, from my home state of New Mexico, he's out of Lovington, played at the University of New Mexico. He's in that same category, just picked it up later in life, fell in love with it. But there's just only so much you can do, so many hours you can put in. And the game just doesn't give you much back the better you get. I mean, every incremental hour when you get into a single digit handicap, doesn't provide as much improvement as you would like. And I think that's where the time on task becomes critical.
Sure, it gets frustrating. Plus, these guys are used to excelling in their particular sport, but the pressure, when I talk to these guys, John Smoltz was just on the show, they talk about the pressure, how it's almost, it just is overwhelming, even with the experience that they've had, pitching in World Series or in Super Bowls, or NBA Finals. I mean, they still feel that the pressure of hitting a stationary golf ball is so much more intense than anything that they've experienced.
Yeah, to be fair, there's nobody guarding you. There's nobody trying to distract you. I mean, the ball just sits there and the flag just kind of waves at you sitting on the green. And these guys just feel the pressure that is probably similar to what we feel on the PGA Tour playing in major championships or trying to win a tournament. And it's those players that are able to handle their nerves the best that usually end up hitting the best shots at the most critical times.
Absolutely. We're talking to Noda Begay, who will be an analyst at the upcoming American Century Championship. And I know, Noda, you played on the PGA Tour. What are your thoughts about their safety protocols in place. Obviously, there's been some positive tests for the virus with Nick Watney and Cameron Champ and most recently Danny McCarthy and several caddies. So how do you think these positive results have impacted the tour?
Well, I think it was to be expected. I don't think anybody went in with a naive perspective and say, hey, we're not going to have any positive tests. And I think Jay Monahan, the PGA Tour staff need to be highly commended for being able to establish a comprehensive set of safety measures and testing measures and protocols that I think have kept the majority of the players safe up to this point. Now, you can set up the best safety guidelines and you can suggest and promote the right conduct to have to prevent yourself from contracting COVID-19. But if people don't listen, and if they don't adhere or they don't wear a mask or they don't social distance, and, you know, players that I've talked to off the record have just noticed, and you heard Rory McIlroy talk about it the first week, is like guys are acting like it doesn't exist, like it can't mm-hmm. impact them in the bubble that the PGA Tour has tried to create. I think there's a few things that may have been overlooked in terms of players that want to train and there's no training facilities on site. We usually have trucks and things like that. And so they're going somewhere else. And, you know, gyms are you know, one of the highest risk areas to contract. So I think there's a few things to be worked out, but no plan is foolproof. No plan is going to be 100% effective, but I think they've done a wonderful job and they're going to make some tweaks as they move forward. And hopefully the players, caddies, and everybody that's allowed within the PGA Tour bubble, you know, really takes those social distancing precautions and wearing masks, even though it's uncomfortable and you look kind of silly doing it, seriously, because really those are the two most effective ways to prevent from getting it and to prevent you from spreading it.
Absolutely. You have to wear a mask. And, you know, I thought it was really wonderful to see Brooks Koepka and his brother Chase Koepka. I mean, you hate to see him withdraw, but because Brooks' caddy tested positive, he just thought, you know, and Webb Simpson, he had a family member testing positive, so he withdrew. You hate to see all these top players withdraw from, you know, the Travelers or any tournament. But they're showing an abundance of caution, which I think everybody pretty much has to show, right? And during these crazy times, you just have to be, you have to err on the side of caution.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of crazy circling issues. You know, we've got racial issues circling around in the country. We've got health crises going on right now with numbers escalating in a variety of states that have maybe opened a little bit. Not too fast, not too soon, but maybe a little too broad. And like I said, you can only set these things up so much, and then you have to rely on the people to adhere to them. It's like a car manufacturer can have the best seatbelts put into the car, and but if you don't wear it, it's not going to help you if you get in a car crash. So if you're not social distancing and sanitizing and washing your hands and wearing a mask, you know, you're really putting yourself at a disadvantage. And with a limited schedule and, you know, so much at stake in terms of the prize money and other things. I mean, Webb Simpson just moved up to second in the Ryder Cup standings. I mean, there's a lot to be gained right now for some of these guys that can stay healthy and play some good golf over a short period of time.
That's right. That's right. They have to stay healthy, but they also have to be, you know, obviously very careful. So I know you're friendly with Tiger Woods. You attended Stanford University, where you were a three-time All-America and teammate of Tiger's.
Harding Park. I mean, that's the first sort of jewel in the crown for Tiger Woods. Everybody knows he needs one more win to surpass the all-time wins on the PGA Tour. Certainly would love to see that be a major championship, but Tiger knows he's going to need 1 to 2 weeks of preparation prior to the PGA. So I suspect, and if I were a betting man, I would bet we'd see him at Memorial and possibly one other event prior to, just to get in the competitive reps, get his body in sync. We obviously saw his golf swing was in good order during the match, hit a lot of high quality shots in a somewhat pressurized environment. But yeah, he's certainly going to need to get to playing in some competitive situations to see where his swing's at and where his body's at, and then make the necessary adjustments headed it to Harding Park, which, if he can catch some warm weather, I mean, the summers in San Francisco can be pretty darn cold. Just ask Mark Twain. And but if he catches some decent weather, you know, that could really be a good golf course, because that is a ball striker's golf course.
Wow, and I mean, and then he has the Masters. He's a defending champion of the Masters in November. So I know, with the revised schedule, there's so many tournaments back to back to back. And he said he's really not going to be able to play more than what, 8 events. He has to be very selective as to how much he plays and how much he practices. So, he has to kind of, look at this revised schedule now and figure out how can he best peak for these major championships, right? So.
Well, that's the key thing. I mean, it's going to be tough. I mean, if he falls into a little bit of a slump with any key component, with his iron play, with his driver, with his putter, there's just not a lot of time to play his way out of it. Because from what it sounds, it's going to be, you know, one, maybe two prep events before each major. So, you know, we're going to see him maybe 6 times this year. So I think that, yeah, and depending on how he plays at Memorial and the PGA will dictate whether we even see him in the FedEx Cup playoffs. So that's a lot in the air, but it also puts a little bit extra pressure on him to come out and be ready to play and not have too many kinks to work out, just because you don't have a lot of time. He's not going to be having a lot of competitive reps
Sure.
to kind of sort of iron out kinks like he would in when he was a lot healthier.
So is that enough play, you think, Noda, to be
For him,
match
yeah,
top for
it's enough
Tiger?
play. I mean,
Yeah.
well, Tiger's proven throughout the course of history, he's probably playing of a player that's been number one for that many consecutive weeks. He knows how to show up ready. He knows the venues, and he knows what has to be done at home. He has state-of-the-art everything at home. He's got a beautiful short game area, four greens in the backyard. He can cut the turf to pretty much any height. He's got a world-class superintendent to take care of it. The greens can run anywhere from 12 to 16. And so he really leaves no stone unturned at home. And so it's just a matter of every single player will tell you that their sequences change when you put the peg in the ground in a tournament. And so that's what that one event prior to the major is to, okay, how do I get my sequences to match up so I hit the shots that I want to hit?
Right, and he can do that better than anybody, that's for sure.
He certainly can. He's proven it.
My thanks to Gary Player, Noda Begay, and Kyle Lynch in the studio. Have a safe weekend, everybody. Be well, be active, be kind, and I will talk to you next Saturday morning from 7 to 8 right here on Sports Interview with Anne Liguori.